Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This defense as a whole, there's no doubt post-Chargers game, they've been one of the better defensive units in football. I'm not saying they're the best defense in football, but to me, there should not be a question that under Steve Spagnuolo and with this group that, let's remember, still has some young pieces in the secondary that I think has already shown some signs of improvement, to say the least, they're going to be one of the better defensive units yet again. I know we were all worried, and I was, after week one, like, oh my goodness, this unit, is this going to be able to come around quick enough to help this team win football games? And all they've done has been one of the biggest strengths of this football team since the Chargers game. And some of the numbers behind are kind of crazy. You know, we mentioned they got to start forcing turnovers and all that. Well, that's exactly what they
have done
been
the
able
two games.
To do the last couple of games. They've been forcing turnovers. Obviously, they held the Ravens to 20 points, knocked Lamar Jackson out of the game. He looked so uncomfortable when he was out there, to say the least. We all know what he did the week before to Russell Wilson. Say what you will about his performance. Jalen Hurts was held to 100 yards. This defense, I'm not really worried about the defense. I'm not saying they're going to be a top three defensive unit in the league, but Steve Spagnuolo continues to be the best in-game adjustment coach in the NFL, period, on the defensive side of the ball. First drive of the game, when it's scripted, Baltimore carved right through him easily. You're like, oh boy.
He's like, okay.
How many times have we had that conversation, though, since we've been doing the show about Spagnuolo? And hey, they'll get you in the first half or for the first quarter, the first drive. In this case, it was one drive. But in-game adjustments, he's the best at it. He really is, and this defense is a massive, massive strength for this football team, and it's why they're going to be still one of the better teams, I think, when the dust settles and this offense really gets going consistently for people obviously wanting to see more. I get it. But the defense, I don't need to see more from the defense. I would like to see more pressure from the front four, but in terms of do I buy into them being one of the best units in football? Yeah, I think they are going to be a top 10 defense fairly easily again when the season ends.
If they had a slightly better pass rush, I'd be ready to tell you that this is the best defense in the NFL. Not one of the, not like without qualification, the best. Baltimore was coming into that game scoring 37 points a game. And held them to 20. And one of those was a garbage time Justice Hill run when the game was completely out of hand and it didn't matter. And it's not like they've been taking on a bunch of weak offenses outside of that. You might have been bored with the Eagles. They have the 7th best offense in the NFL right now. A team did not run all over them. They will face Detroit and Buffalo, the number 1 and 2 ranked offenses in the NFL right now, coming up pretty soon. And the Chargers, in the games that they're scoring, if you forgot the Chiefs game, they'd be a top 10 offense in the NFL. They are one of the top 5 defenses in the NFL, and largely based, it seems, on scheme and secondary, which is an interesting way to build a defense, admittedly, as a top 5 defense.
That's
typically
facts.
People, yes, but typically they build it on the defensive line, and I would say that's not this team's strength. They play great defensive back defense. They, like Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, the corners, they blitzed Nick Bolton 10 times in that game, according to Next Gen Stats. He created 5 pressures. He was free rusher half of the time he was going after the quarterback. So scheme and secondary seems to be the entire basis of a top 5 defense, but it's working.
Yeah,
and there's no reason to think it'll change.
Over the last 8 quarters or so, 4 takeaways, 5 sacks, only given up, I think if you include the Justice Hill one, I think 3 touchdowns or something like that over the last 8 quarters, 4 touchdowns over the last 8 quarters, something like that. So yeah, they've got something figured out. I think it was Sam McDowell who was in the locker room and he was in the corner. He was talking to Nick Bolton. And then I saw the story out this morning, clearly what he was asking Nick Bolton about as well. What was impressed about Spags is they ran a certain scheme in one point of the game that they had not run ever under Spags, I think it is.
He said 7 years is what it
Yeah, essentially it's happened one other time. That's the kind of stuff that makes him so good. If you're the Ravens, you had no reason to believe that was coming. Yeah. You don't think they don't run that. They don't do that. We don't have to worry about that. And yet he goes in his back pocket and pulls that out, and it ends up being a massive play for Kansas City. That's the genius that is Steve Spagnuolo. And I think you got some guys in the secondary building some confidence. Jalen Watson, to me, should be getting a little more attention as well, how well he has played. We know what Trent McDuffie's going to be. He's a stud. But Jalen Watson's been awesome. When he's healthy, he's a pretty damn good player.
And they made some changes, which I think we'll talk about later in the week. Like, Gelati played as much as Charles Minnehue, and Dan has been hurt. Like, it's not even like they've been at full capacity. They signed Christian Fulton with the hope that was going to strengthen their defensive backfield. Instead, they got Roland Wallace out breaking up picks and doing stuff. I mean, they're getting contributions from everyone. Look, I'll be honest. I think they've got a lot of talent on defense. Spags is why I think. If you made me switch defensive coordinators right now, I don't think they're a top five defense.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is a Steve Spagnuolo conversation. Yeah.
Like, it's not to say that they deserve no credit or have zero ability. That is not the argument I'm making. But the reason why they're elite is because what they're able to do defensively. Another player that we could talk about more in depth individually, Leo Chanel, is developing into a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. He's doing pass rush snaps from the edge. He's out here in coverage making picks. Like, I mean, I get it. We knew he was a good athlete, Gold, probably when he climbed up that double-decker bus in the Super Bowl parade with ease.
Yeah.
But, like, he is kind of like a do-everything guy right now. But it feels like they got a lot of do-everything guys on the defense. They're just they
athletes.
Move.
Yeah, I mean, like, got, you know, plain and simple athletes and athleticism off the charts. You mentioned the parade thing. Remember when they drafted him? I'll give Bing credit for this. As much as we give him a hard time about the Josh Simmons stuff, he was right on Chanel. When they drafted him, he had mentioned quite a bit about the athleticism scores and just how this guy is going to be a freak and be able to play in all these different spots. And we're starting to see it more and more. Last year, it started with the block punt or the block kick or whatever. And you're like, wow, here's the athleticism on display. And now you're seeing him delve into multiple roles. I think you're right on not only as a pass rusher as well, but that interception, I mean, that's elite stuff as a linebacker.
One-handed back in coverage.
Here's what Chanel said in the locker room on that pick.
I was just doing the best to key his eyes. You know, I honestly kind of struggled with that, you know, in the past in college and stuff. And I was kind of always a run-stopping linebacker. So, you know, over the years and especially this year, just trying to like work my eyes and coverage, you know, learning from these guys that are a little better than me in coverage. So it's definitely been a blessing.
Just flat out has improved in that particular area. And that if the one complaint has been about the linebacking unit has been, hey, you know, there's some guys that get exposed in coverage. Yeah. And now if Leo is able to, because by the way, if you're Lamar Jackson, you're not expecting that kind of play. Like you're thinking, oh, we got a great mismatch here. We got a linebacker on our guy. And Leo made him pay. I mean, it looked like Leo was the wide receiver on that route. I mean, he ran the route as well. That's what was so impressive about it. Not just the fact that it was a one-handed INT, but if you're Lamar, you'll take that matchup and that shot every single time.
Every time.
It was just a great defensive play. And it helps when things maybe are clicking and you're also playing with a little bit of a lead. This was also what Leo had to say.
I mean, it's definitely you know, motivating and energizing when everything's clicking, you know, offense, first teams, defense, you know, all those. And like guys running off the field, yelling, like, you know, every single, like all three phases just yelling and get each other going. It's like nobody's like dead. Like everybody's like just energized. So, you know, it definitely does feel good, especially at home.
I was able to get out there and play with a big lead. Had a lot of close games, but now this one kind of got away from them and you guys were able to coast in.
You know, it feels good, but at the same time, like, we just treat it like, hey, reminding each other 0-0, you know, just do our jobs. You know, that's how you get yourself in trouble, is, you know, feeling too good about yourself. So I think a lot of our guys took a great approach at, you know, just doing their job and executing, and a lot of us guys take pride in it. You know, we want to, you know, finish out the game strong, not just win.
I think one thing that stands out about like what he was doing and what they were doing on defense is, I don't know if it's just, I used to think it was because Patrick Mahomes was so great and they just felt like they couldn't stick with it. But, like, Mahomes has been not regular Mahomes for some time, right? So you don't feel this or shouldn't have felt this instant pressure or constant pressure to be the way. They are better at convincing teams to try to be something they're not in the middle of game than anyone else. Once again, we're coming into a Monday where how many times did they give it to Derrick Henry? Like 9-8 times?
Yeah, they had like 46 yards rushing or 50 yards rushing.
Justice Hill was once on the field on 3rd-and-1. They could. How did you convince them based on lineup in the game that Justice Hill should be on 3rd-and-1 against what was going into the game the worst defense in base defense in the NFL, as in like against the run? So like they were supposed to be bad in those situations, and they just convinced these teams, I think, through looks and confusion, and they get in their own head, and then they decide to do something different. Because the Ravens have now entered a game against the Chiefs in which they have gotten out of what makes them a good offensive football team every time they face him. I don't know if Harbaugh's in his own head. I don't know if Lamar checks out. But, like, they just don't have any answer for what the Chiefs do defensively.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.